This morning, I want to bring a message that has really been, actually Kurt brought them to us, and then we decided, okay, yeah, we'll do this as elders. I am an elder here. My name's Gary Livingston, and I'm going to start off just kind of, how this whole message will start, and just finishing our race. Now, back in 09, I ran a race with Gary Jensen. Some of you may remember that. It was a marathon, the actual marathon, that next week we'll be changing our whole schedule, coming to church late. Now, me and Gary were part of that back in 09. We made you guys come to church late. And so, but we ran a marathon. And in that marathon, it's a long run. 26.2 miles, long run. So within 26.2 miles, what do you think I'm looking forward to? The end, the finish line, exactly. I was looking forward to the finish line. And I remember a time, I think it was on Fair Oaks Boulevard up by Fulton Avenue. If you guys know where that is, Monroe, up in the, I don't know what that area is called. It's a very rich area. I never been there very much because it's real expensive. But anyways, that area there, we're going along, and all of a sudden, Gary has come up in front of me, and he's jogging in front of me. He's looking at me. He goes, "Are you all right?" And I'm going, "I don't know. I don't know if I can finish this, Gary. I don't know if I can do it. It's hard." And it was. It was hard. It was. We trained for a long, a year of training. But yet still, actually going out there and doing the job and doing the run, the 26.2 miles was a big job. And so that's what we want to look at today. We want to look at looking forward to the finish line of our life. And I'm not talking about dying. I'm not... Don't take me wrong. But look at, how am I going to finish? How am I going to finish as a Christian? And, I just want to be, we need to be challenged. This has been a good challenge for me on how to just really look at my life and say, am I really ready? Am I looking forward to that finish line? Am I looking forward to heaven, which I have before me? Am I doing what I need to do? We don't work to get to heaven or anything. That's what I'm saying. But am I being the Christian that God wants me to be? That finish line ahead of me, am I really, being ready, getting myself ready for that? And so the passage we're going to look at today is from 2 Timothy. It's kind of the end of where we've been doing a series here, The Power of One. I don't know if I want to say this or not. I've been asking a couple of, nope, I'm not going to say it. Don just said, don't admit it. So I'm not going to admit it. You guys will never know what us elders. Thank you, Don. Thank you. I'm sorry. It's funny. But we are coming to the end here of our series, The Power of One, and it's in 2 Timothy. If you want to open your Bibles there, 2 Timothy chapter 4. And I want to read the whole chapter, my whole chapter, the whole, I have verses 1 through 8, and I want to just, I'll read through it and then go back and kind of just talk about it. Okay. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus, who is going to judge the living and the dead, and because of his appearing and his kingdom, proclaim the message. Persist in it, whether convenient or not. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. For the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves, because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. But as for you, be serious about everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There is reserved for me in the future the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not only to me, but to all those who have loved his appearing. I want to open in prayer real quick and just ask God to bless our time and just get our hearts ready for what he has to say to us today. God, we thank you for this time. We thank you, God, that we are able to gather together in your name and just... be here and to worship you and sing sing songs unto you and praises. And God, I just thank you for this opportunity, God, to look into your word now. And I pray that you will bless us. I pray that you help me, God, to proclaim your word and explain it where they can understand it. And I pray that you'll just bless this morning, God. Thank you for your word and for you, Lord, and what you've done for us on the cross. Thank you in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. I solemnly charge you before God and Christ Jesus. I am sorry. And I was told to say that. That'll be the last one, Don. Okay, just covering verse 1 here. It says, you know, we're talking about Christ appearing. And Christ appearing in his kingdom are not the same. Christ appearing in his kingdom are not the same. His appearing is the rapture of the church. Did I talk about the marathon yet? Yeah. Me and you? Man, I'm just totally boom. I don't know what. All of a sudden I looked at Gary and I go, I didn't even say what I was going to say at the beginning. So I missed my first part. Sorry about. Yeah. Okay. I'm not nervous. Not really, no. All right. Christ's appearing and his kingdom are not the same. His appearing is the rapture of the church. So just going to note that. And his kingdom refers to the revelation of Christ when he returns to the earth and establishes his kingdom. So Paul is saying here, in view of the fact that you, Timothy, are going to stand before God to have your life judged, this is what you are to do. And today, we know that Timothy now is talking to, or Paul is talking to Timothy, and Paul, or Timothy is going to be a preacher. Now, how many of us here are preachers? I'm not even a preacher. I can have my hand up. So obviously this isn't it's more than just to a preacher. It's to us too. So today, this is what God is saying to you and to me right now. You know, we are the challenge goes more from just being from what he's talking to Timothy about, but it's a challenge for us today as a Christian. So it's a charge from God. So he says, in the view of the fact that you, Timothy, are going to stand before God to have your life judged, this is what you're to do. This is what you're to do. As a pastor, oh my goodness, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm just nervous. I'm sorry. I was feeling so good. Okay, verse 2, it says, proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not, rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and teaching. So we need to give out the message. You know, I talked about us all, I asked if you were ministers or if you were pastors, and we're not. But this still pertains to us, and it's still, we all have a ministry. We all have something that we may not go and we don't go up in front of people like I'm doing right now and giving a message. But we do have a message we need to proclaim to our family, to our co-workers, to the people around us. And so this isn't just a message that was just to a pastor. It's a message for all of us. And so we all need to understand and see that this is something we all need to follow, and God is really speaking to us. So he's saying that, to be a pastor, you're teaching the word, but to be a follower, you're being a witness. You're being a witness for Christ. And in verse 2, it says that we need to give out the message of God and keep doing it, whether convenient or not. And that's kind of a scary thing. Sometimes it is convenient. Sometimes we have people we can talk to, and we get along with them real well, and they just, anything you say, they're listening to you, and so they just love it. And so they love you. And so they just hear it. And sometimes you might be pumping your heart to talk to somebody, and they're like, oh, well, I don't want to. They're going to be tough. They're going to be not going to receive it real well. But we're called to do it. We're called to be a witness to them, no matter what the message is. So it could be hard. So we need to give out that message and keep doing it, whether convenient or not. Then it comes in verse 2. It says, then proclaim the message, persist in it, whether convenient or not. Rebuke, correct, and encourage with great patience and and teaching. So the rebuke is that let someone know, show them what they are doing wrong. And how easy is that? Is that easy to do? No. I don't like doing it. I've had to do it many times as an elder, and I've had to do it just different things come up, and it's not a fun thing to do. But it's an important thing to do, isn't it? We need to, we don't go up there, you are doing wrong, you are doing this, blah, blah. You come up with them with love, and you love them, and you show them, and you graciously show them how much, where they need to change and what needs to be done in their life differently, and how they maybe need to get right with God or just live their life more for God. So rebuke, correct. Correct is to teach them what God wants them to do. We're not all teachers, but we do know God's word from just learning. We're coming to church, and a lot of us have been in church all of our lives, like I've been, and we're able to just teach them what we know. We're not gonna be able to give a sermon to them, but we're gonna teach them what we know, because we all know something. As a Christian, once God's called us to Him, we learn, and it's amazing how you start talking to somebody, and maybe you're witnessing to them for the first time, or maybe you do have to confront them about something. It's amazing how God just steps right in, and the Holy Spirit steps in, and just helps you, and helps give you the right words. It gives you the right peace of mind about what you're doing, and so you correct them. And then encourage. Come alongside someone and build them up with great patience and teaching. That's an important one, encourage. How many people need to be encouraged? I think we all do. I mean, especially with what's going on today in this world, sometimes, I hadn't heard the news, this last thing that was going on, and all of a sudden my wife had it on and back in the bedroom, and I came back there, and I wasn't scared, but I was really startled, and it's like, man, what is this world coming to? And it's been said that already, this world, we have some bad times coming, happening right now. And so we need to be encouraged. We need to have that someone, we might need someone to come along and encourage us. Or it might just be a situation of life that we're facing. We're facing tough times. We're facing something's happening in our life. Something's happening even in our marriages, in our families. Something that's happened, and we just need to be encouraged. So he talks about being encouraging them. Okay, in verse 3 and 4, for the time will come when they will not tolerate sound doctrine, but according to their own desires will multiply teachers for themselves, because they have an itch to hear something new. They will turn away from hearing the truth and will turn aside to myths. Have you found today that people don't want to hear what's right? They don't. People don't want to hear what's right and what's good. They just want to, unfortunately, people want to just hear whatever sounds good to them. And they're like, tell me something good. Tell me something I want to hear. I've heard that before. People just want to hear what's good and what's going to make them feel good and what's going to make them built up. And so they don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be convicted. They don't want to be challenged. They don't want to change. But we need to do that. People, they don't want to hear it, but we need to be able to speak to them, challenge them, and help them to change. They want to hear something new, as I said. They want to whatever the world is putting out there, that's what they want to hear, and that's what they want to follow. And so we need to be challenged on how we how we speak to them. Okay, verse 5. But as for you, be serious about everything. And that's speaking to us. It's funny because it was Paul talking to Timothy, but right now here's I'll say this is God speaking to us. But as for you, be serious about everything. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Take this all as serious. We really got to take this as a very serious thing. It won't be easy. It will be a battle. And it really will. When we challenge that, it's going to be a battle. We need to be a witness. We need to be out there and be, it's not going to, I'm not saying we're going to go door to door every day and, just stop everybody you see. And if that's your thing, that's great. That really is. But it's just those people we can come in contact with. It's our coworkers. It's our neighbors. It's our delivery people who, yesterday, I was at home by my studying all day long. My wife was gone all day, and we had packages coming. Christmas, the grandkids' Christmas presents were coming in by packages. And so I kept on getting these interruptions, you know, of these knocking at the door, you know, here's a delivery for us, for the kids. And so, and now I don't know why I said that, but yeah, that's great. So we all, you know, our life is a drink. No, I'm sorry. Verse 6. I'm going to go to verse 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time for my departure is close. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Our life is a drink offering being poured out. And that's, you know, we need to look at our life. You know, when we have, you know, I said we're not ministers, but we do have a ministry. And how often do we really look at our life thinking, you know, I need to pour out my life to someone else? You know, The normal thing is that we want someone to pour their life into us, right? That's what I am. I mean, you want someone to, you know, challenge, you know, to encourage you, challenge you, help you, you know, build you up and be your friend and everything. But here it's talking about us pouring ourselves out to them. How often, you know, we know people. It could be our spouse. It could be our child. It could be someone we work with. But just pouring out ourselves, being that drink offering, being just pouring ourselves out for God and just serving Him. That's what serving God is. It's not, you know, serving God isn't just, well, it is. It's serving people. That's what we're, our life is called to do. So Paul's life was a drink offering poured out. Now, for Christ. And the one here, it's not Paul to be exalted. You know, when we do this, we're not exalting the person who's pouring their life out. And, oh, look at that guy. Look at what great things he's doing and everything. Who's the glory go to? It goes to God. It goes to God. Because we've given our life to God. We've given our life to serve Him. And so we pour out our life for Him as a drink offering. So He's the one to be exalted. Okay, verse 7. It's a fun one. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight. A defender of the word of God and stands out for the great truths of God's word. You fought the good fight. You know, what is our... We say that, I'm going to ask questions of you guys and didn't respond. But what could be our fight? What could be our fight? Go ahead, Wes. Okay. Right for Jesus. Yeah. Jeff. Trusting for finances. Yes. Great. Keeping a great attitude. And it is important, a good attitude and all those things. Yes. Danny. That's awesome. That's a very important one. Bring others closer to God who've gotten lost. Has that happened today? Yeah, it does. We know people that we love and they've strayed away, and we need to bring them back. We need to show them the way. And you know what's so awesome is that we know and they need to know that God is just waiting for them to come back, and God is ready and willing to take them back no matter what. And just, you know, we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And He just confess, and we're back. That's it. Okay, anybody else have anything for that? I'll let you come in on the sermon for me. Okay, I have finished the race. I have finished the race. Okay, you've touched all the bases. You've completed all that God has planned for him. This is, you know, you've just done it all. The race is, you know... Again, I was referring, you know, I referred to the race that I was in with Gary. And I don't know where Sue Patty is, but Patty is a marathon runner too. Where'd she go? She's gone. She was here, but she's gone. Two marathon runners that ran for years, and I've only done it once, but I know looking to that, finishing that race is in such a just a big thing. You know, it's like you have a, let's say you have a in your office or at your job or whatever, you have this big project you're doing, and you got to get it done, and you got to get, you know, you just got to get there, and it's got to get done, and it's like it's such a big giant thing. But just like me speaking this morning, it was such a big giant thing for me preparing and, you know, to bring the message. And it just, but you know, we get to that point where he just, you know, God is there and he just helps us finish that race. He just helps us to, you know, there's all kinds of things that it could be, and he helps us, he brings us along, and he gets us to that point to where, you know, we're there, we made it. Then we can relax. I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. Don't move away from the great truths and doctrines of God's word. And how important is that? You know, I've kept the, you know, we get called to do so many different things. You know, the media, just everything, we're called left and right to go from here to there to everywhere in our lives. We know we're as Christians, we're supposed to live a certain way, but then yet we're bombarded by all these other different ways to live and different lifestyles and allowing different things in your life. But the important thing is we've got to keep the faith and keep in what God's word says and what God wants us to live and what God has for us from his doctrines, from not what the world has to say, but what God has to say. So running the race is about being committed to the truth. We have to be committed. If we're not committed, how far are we going to go? Not very far. If I wasn't committed to my race in the marathon, I might have made it, because we started down Folsom Lake, and went all the way to the state capitol. That's 26.2 miles. If I wasn't committed, if I would have stopped probably just out of Folsom Lake somewhere. No, I wouldn't have got very far. But I was committed, and that's a real important thing. Is, you know, how committed are we to finishing our race? You know, is it something that we just look at and go, oh, you know, it doesn't matter. God doesn't really care that much on how I'm living my life. He's not looking down on me all the time. You know, I'm sure of all the millions of people, his eyes are somewhere else, and I can get away with doing this, and I don't have to be that committed to following him and following all that he expects me to do. But that's not true. He does. We do need to be committed. We do need to do what God wants us to do. And is that an easy thing? No, it's not. It really isn't. We're human beings. But the cool thing is that God knows that. He knows that we're human. He knows he created us. He's the one who made us. He intimately is involved in our life. I didn't say the word right, but anyways, he's involved in our life, and he knows us, and he knows what everything about us. He knows what our makeup is. He knows where our background came, where we came from, and why we are the way we are, and all those things that we use sometimes as excuses of being the way we are. But sometimes it's reality, though. This is the way I am. God knows those things. So, running the race is about being committed to the truth, and is, you know, to quit is to walk away from the truth. That'd be a sad thing, to walk away from the truth, to quit. You know, and sometimes it's tough. I know it is. You know, we're all kinds of things happen in our life, and again, I'm not going to try to mention all the different things that happen to us. You know what they are. You know what you're facing today. You know what you're going through. And do we want to give up sometimes? Yeah, we do. We do. We want to give up. We want to just say, hey, that's it. I've done the best I can do. But we know, you know, the cool thing is that God knows that, and he's just there ready just to pick us right up, and he's ready to just to help us right along. And all we got to do is turn to him. All we got to do is just, you know, give it to him. He just wants us to pour our hearts out to him every day, every hour, if whatever it takes. You know, he just wants us to give our life to him, and he doesn't want us to give up. So there is a finish line to look forward to. Isn't that awesome? There's a finish line to look forward to. What is that finish line? Who can tell me what the finish line is? Wes.
It's
what?
Of his grace,
good. I heard someone else say it, though, too. Heaven, yes, amen. We have heaven ahead of us, thank goodness. And, you know, there will be, we have that to look forward to, and there will be, we will receive a crown of righteousness. And a crown of righteousness, you know, I think of that, it's just an awesome, you know, it's like, I'm going to wear a crown, you know, something to cover my bald head. I was big enough to get around there and cover it up. I know God knows me, so he'll give me just the right one. To Thank you, Andy. So there we will receive a crown of righteousness. This is going to be a reward for our faithfulness, for living a righteous life. We'll be with Christ. What an awesome thing. What an awesome thing to look forward to. We're going to be with Christ himself. We're going to be right with him. It's hard to imagine it. I mean, it really is. It's hard to imagine, you know, the concept of it, and just, you know, being that there's actually going to be probably millions of people there, but we're going to be right with him. And it's like, how can that be? You know, there's going to be a million people. Like, even this crowd right here, it's like, how can we all be right next to the person that's you know, that you want to see or something? But we're going to be right with him all the time. He's going to be right with us. And it's just an awesome thing to know that he's going to be there with us. Or we're going to be there with him. Do you love his appearing? Do you love his appearing? Man, I do. I just look forward to it. I look forward to it. It's funny because now my 13th grandchild is on its way. And so I think about, man, I don't want to leave. I have 13 grandkids down here I want to, you know, be involved in. My oldest one, Micah, back there, and Josh playing the keyboard, and I want to see what God has in store for them and what he's going to do with their lives and stuff. I'm so excited to see what they want to do. But just to think of, you know, we have that importance. We have that importance of, you know, of as a Christian, then to be a testimony to them, you know, be a testimony and be a witness to our family and really, you know, see them be the child of God that God wants them to be. Do you ever tell God that you love him? I mean, really tell him? I mean, that's just something I was really challenged with, you know, and how we need to really let Jesus know how much we love him. Let him know how much that we appreciate him, how much we cherish the life that he's given us and what he's done for us. You know, so I say it's easy, but I don't know, so many times, you know, I find myself just kind of, you're caught up in the world, caught up in, maybe not just the world, but caught up in life, and you kind of forget, you know, who I am. You know, I'm a child of God. You know, God died on the cross for my sins, I'm a saved person. I'm going to use that word. I'm saved, and I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have eternity with God ahead of me. And it's just such an awesome thing to know that at the end of our race, whatever that race, you know, that race is, at the end of that race, we know we can go to heaven. We know that God is going to take us to be with him, to be by his side. So when my crossroads, Pastor Kurt always ends his sermons with a crossroads, you know, in life, and kind of a challenge. So my first one is, am I willing to run the race God has set before me? That's a question I'm putting out to you. Am I willing to run the race that God has set out before me? That's something we have to really be thinking about, because it's something that, you know, we do need to put some emphasis on, and, you know, am I willing to do it? Because, you know, we're all here today. It's great. It's good. You know, we're in church, and you can say, yeah, I went to church today, so I chalk up one thing, you know. That's nothing. It is something. But that's compared to, it's, you know, just being here isn't everything. It's, you know, am I giving my life to God? Am I serving him as I want to serve him? Am I willing to run the race that God has set before me, that I know that God wants me to do, that I know? And it, it's amazing how he just lets us know what he wants from us. We don't have to. You know, we can. There's some people who go, I have to do all the different things to find out, you know, what does God want? You know, he will tell us if we just listen. If we open God's word, read his word. He's gonna guide us, he's gonna show us, he's gonna let us know what he wants from us and what the life he wants to live. What do I need to do to be able to run the race and finish it? Is there something in your life right now that you need to address? You know, what do I need to do to run that race? For Gary and I, we had to run and run and run and run and run some more and run some more and run some more to get ready. You know, what do we need to do? What do we need to do to finish that, to be able to finish our race? It's a challenge to look at your life and to see, you know, what area in my life that maybe God needs to change in me? You know, what area do I give up? What am I, maybe, you know, you look at my life and go, you know what, I'm actually doing pretty good. God's, you know, and that's an awesome thing to sit there and just realize, you know, I'm reading my Bible every day like I want to do. I'm reading, praying. I'm encouraging people, and that's great. And it's knowing that we're doing what God wants us to do. We know that we're getting ready to make it to that finish line. So I hope this morning, in my bumbling around, that you are challenged just to look at your life, look at what God has called you to do and finishing your race. And maybe you need to get started. Maybe you're here this morning and you said, well, you know what? I haven't even started the race yet. I don't even know what you're really talking about too much about the race. I don't know what living for God is. And the cool thing is that God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And we can turn our hearts to God, and God right now just will accept you and love you and make you a child of God. And so it can start right now. It can start right today, right this moment. That race could start at any time. And so we just hope you're challenged to see that race that's ahead of you and to live that life that God wants you to live and to be the child of God that he wants you to be. Let's pray. Lord God, I just thank you so much for just your love for us. And I'm really overwhelmed, God, of just how much you love us and how much you want to help us succeed in our life. And you want to help us finish our race as it's been put out here this morning. I thank you, God, that you help us, you give us the ability, you give us all the things that we need to live the life that we need to live and to just be the person you want us to be. And I pray that you help us, God, to be convicted of things in our lives that we need to change. Help convict us of sin. Help us to get rid of the sin that's in our life and the things that so easily beset us from being the man or woman of God, the child of God that you want us to be. I pray that you just help us, Lord, to just be willing and ready to do whatever you call us to do and run that race and to look to the finish line knowing that we are going to be with you in heaven. We love you, Lord. We look forward to just being with you, and we look forward to the time that you just do call us all home and take us home in the rapture and just let us be with you forever, God, and know that we have eternity with our Savior. So we thank you and praise you for that, and we thank you for this morning. We pray, God, that you will help us to remember, God, what we've heard, that you will help us to have a real desire to, and a burning in our hearts, to finish strong for you. Thank you. Praise you in Christ's name. Amen.